Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good. Happy New Year. It's 2021. Does not feel like it to me. I'm still thinking of it as 2020. Let's pray and get into the study. Father, thank you for being with us here for the new year and for this Sunday. Pray that you speak to us through your word. Through your Holy Spirit, we've come here to worship and praise you. We've come here to thank you, and we've come here to listen to you. So we pray that you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the title for our study this morning is The New Creations. We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. New Year's is always a great time to reflect on the past year and on what you want for the future. Last night, Morgan and I were actually on a walk around the neighborhood, and we were talking about this very thing, reflections. We do this every year, talk about our reflections from the past year as the year comes to a close, and talk about what we're looking for in the next year and what we're hoping for and some goals. I actually took a little bit of time off this week from work just so that I can spend some extra time regrouping before getting back into everything, and hopefully that'll help me reflect some more as well. And next Sunday we have our ministry vision planning meeting where we get to reflect on what we did here at the church in 2020 and all that the Lord did with the church in such an unusual situation, and then look forward to what the Lord is doing in 2021 and what we're planning for and what we feel like God is calling us to. So all these things, just the context of this being the start of the year, provides a good time to reflect on the past and look forward to the future. And that's what we want to do this morning, specifically through the lens of Christ's birth. Last week we celebrated the birth of Christ as Messiah and as Savior, celebrating how he bridged the gap between God and man that was created by sin. This week we're seeing what happens now after we have that bridge. So it's both in the context of this new year, as well as in the context of the birth of Christ and where we go from there. The newness of our life in Christ in the immediate context of 2021. Our verses this morning, we're focusing on verses 16 through 19, but the verses preceding that are important, verses 14 through 15. So just to read those really quickly. For in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So in short, to summarize that, and to summarize that in the context of our study on the firstborn of all creation, focusing on the birth of Christ. Christ was born on this earth. He died, and he rose again, so that we could be born on this earth. We could die to our old lives, and we could live again in Christ, what we would call our rebirth in Christ. So that is the context moving into verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17 will be our first point for this morning, focused on living for Christ. Let's read verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So from our birth on this earth, our only mode of understanding the world is through our fallen physical limitations. I remember as a kid, I was a small kid, one of the smaller ones in my class, and definitely in sports. And so that kind of shaped my entire attitude approaching school and sports, I had to like prove myself. You know, I had to always play harder and think of ways to outsmart other kids and stuff, just to compete with the kids that were bigger than me in sports. And that kind of drove my perspective and my attitude toward other kids, toward school, toward sports especially. I think it extended far beyond just athletics, though, and kind of shaped my motivations moving into any challenge in life, from growing up all those years being small and having to compete against people who are stronger, bigger, faster than me. My size shaped my perspective in the same way that our earthly lives shape our perspective. We grow up on this earth in whatever culture we're growing up in. And for many of us, maybe that's Stockton. For me, it was Hanford, but Central Valley still. We grow up in the world with the culture around us, with how we're told things are supposed to be, with how we see things to be, both in our lives and on TV and nowadays on the internet too. And those things deeply shape our perspective of how we view the world, how we view ourselves, and how we, our desires and our values. Even the apostles initially came to Jesus from their earthly human interactions with them. When Jesus reached out to them, he reached out to them man to man. He called out to the fishermen, and it was on that human level. But from our rebirth, when we trust Jesus for our salvation, we give our lives to him, we're reborn in Christ. And as you have probably heard, that's the image of baptism. When you're baptized, you go into the water and you come out. It's the image of dying to your old life and coming out reborn into your new life in Christ. So from our rebirth, we can know that Jesus, we can know each other, we can understand life around us according to our new heavenly perspective. When I had my growth spurt around junior year of high school, tons of things changed for me. Because all of a sudden I'm 6'2", and so kids stopped picking on me as much at school, and sports were quite a bit easier, and I was more intimidating than it used to be, where I was intimidated by others and had to try to, like, you know, beat them as a small kid in sports. Now I was a bigger kid on the sports teams, and other people had to try to come beat me. Girls started noticing me more, which is really important for a high schooler. And so everything changed for me, but my perspective didn't change as much. My perspective was still, I felt like I was still that small kid, still trying to prove myself, still feeling like I'm the underdog, still feeling like people are looking down on me or thinking that I can't accomplish something, even if I wasn't really that underdog anymore, even if with the growth spurt I had an advantage on others now. So our perspective on everything in our lives, now that we're born again in Christ, has changed. We're fundamentally different than the culture around us. However, just like me in high school, we often act like we don't realize just how different we are now. It's almost like, and many times we try to play both sides, where we can say intellectually that we believe that we're different in Christ, we can feel different in Christ, but then at the same time expect our lives to line up closely with what the culture around us tells us our lives should line up with what the American dream is, or with what our families impose on us, or with what our friends are doing, our coworkers. We expect for our lives to both be different for Christ and just nicely line up with everybody around us. And what my growth spurt did for me as a kid, but what this rebirth in Christ does even more so, is it actually makes a complete change. We expect ourselves to be completely different than we were before we trusted Jesus, completely different than the culture around us. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see all things are new in verse 17. Like a newborn baby changes a family forever, the birth of Christ changes his people forever. So why has our perspective changed on everything? In what way has it changed on everything? Why has it changed on everything? Because our identity has changed. Our identity now is closely tied to who Christ is. It's defined by who Christ is and the work of Christ in our lives. Our identity is no longer apart from that. Who we are is deeply rooted in Jesus. Now that we have given him our life, we've trusted him to save us, he's given us a new identity. So it defines everything. Some examples, our purpose in life. What's the meaning of life? What's our purpose? What are we trying to accomplish? It's a huge question for everybody. Our purpose, now that we're born again in Christ, is to live for Christ, not for ourselves. That's something we might hear a lot in Christianity, but feel the weight of that. Your life living for Jesus, not living for yourself. It's a weighty perspective change. Another example would be our relationships with others. Specifically, our relationships with Christians now become our brothers and sisters. And again, something that we might hear a lot in Christianity, but feel the weight of those actual words, that other Christians throughout this entire world are our brothers and sisters, truly our family. To non-believers, our relationships with non-believers, we are ambassadors. We are reaching them for Jesus. So our relationships are no longer defined by what we might have perceived them as before or what the world might perceive them as. Our relationships are defined by our family relationship with other Christians and our ambassadors bringing Christ to non-Christians, non-believers. How has our perspective changed on our earthly family? We see our earthly family as a special blessing from God that we are responsible for, but that is secondary to God himself. So in many cultures, including ours, family is a deeply important, valuable, core part of who we are, which is a good thing. But in our new birth in Christ, our earthly families are second to God and in our family in God. But our earthly families are still a special blessing from God and something that we're very much responsible for. God has gifted us with our earthly families. And depending on where you're at with your earthly family, you know, you might have a great relationship with your earthly family. So this might be easy to hear, and the hard part about this is thinking of your earthly family as second to your relationship with the Lord. That might be hard for you to hear. If your relationship with your earthly family is estranged or in a more difficult scenario, it might be more difficult to hear that's a blessing from God, because it doesn't feel like it always, or that there's responsibility there. But both are true, and both deserve more time than this. What's our perspective? How has it changed toward the church? The church is our true family unit. So we would see this as like our Calvary Stockton, is like our immediate family, where we're constantly in communion and relationship to each other. Things that we'd expect from the church would be, well, we'd expect this to receive this from the church, and we'd expect to give these things back to the church as well. Love, care for one another, accountability, keeping each other accountable, being responsible for each other and for taking care of each other, and discipline. We'd expect to for the Lord to use the local church to help correct us and put us on the right track and help us not fall astray. So we don't expect the church to be a bunch of just nice things that we hear and feel good about, but difficult things too. We expect to be encouraged. We expect to work through difficulties that we're having. We expect to be challenged. We expect to be helped along, people to come side by side with us. Our perspective on work has changed, on our jobs. We know, now that we're reborn in Christ, that we were created originally to rule on behalf of God on this earth in work. We were created to work. There was work in the garden prior to sin. It just wasn't as hard. It wasn't as hard of work. We know we are created for that, but now that we're reborn, we know that God has given us a specific calling to our current jobs. So whatever employment we have right now, or lack of employment, or whatever the case might be, the Lord's calling us to that specific work at this moment. Maybe He will call us long term. Maybe it's just for this immediate time. But work or lack of work, or a job that we like or a job that we hate, or a good career or a bad career, whatever it is, God's calling us to that, at least today, right? Wherever we are today, we know that God's calling us there now. Our perspective towards politics has changed. We are citizens of God's kingdom, and we are foreigners to the United States and to the world. That's a unique concept. We don't approach United States politics the same way that those around us approach United States politics, because we know our citizenship is first to the kingdom of God. That's how we approach. And then we're privileged to have a dual citizenship of sorts, where we're also citizens of the United States and can vote, and we should, and help impact the direction of the United States. But our mindset is assuming our citizenship to the kingdom of God first. Our perspective towards faith has changed, because we have a unique relationship with a real God. And this unique relationship is consistent with truth and with our experience. It's not something we're making up. It's true. And we actually feel this relationship with God. So I list off all of these perspectives from our rebirth to highlight how differently, or how weird this sounds to the world. The world, I don't think anybody, like, just in our culture around us, would view any of these things the way that I just mentioned. But because we're reborn in Christ, we view these things in this context, in the biblical context. We view from a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective. And we expect it to feel a little bit weird, because we expect it to be different than those around us. I was watching TV yesterday, and an ad popped up for a dating site, and the entire ad were people discussing what their views of marriage was, and specifically in the context of, we don't really feel marriage is important anymore. Like, we feel we can have very meaningful relationships, and we don't need marriage for a variety of reasons. And periodically, the dating app would put in commentary into the ad of their own background for this discussion. And the top reasons that the dating app gave for people getting married were legal protections and tax benefits. Those are the best that the ad could come up with. I was just baffled by, this is a dating app, and the best the dating app could come up with is, yeah, you should get married because you get legal protections and you get tax benefits. See, our identity defines the meaning of our lives. And apart from Christ, our culture frantically tries to rewrite meaning. And the word that came to mind when I'm watching this commercial is aimless. The people in the ad didn't seem to have any sort of a meaning deep in them, a background philosophy or faith that could help drive why they're doing what they're doing. It was just, this is what we like feel like doing. I don't know why I feel like, but I just have to have an honest conversation with myself to feel like I'm doing what I feel like I should be doing. And it's just like this aimless wandering with no direction, nothing outside of themselves, nothing bigger than themselves that's giving them truth. This is why we're not surprised that the perspective of our lives looks different than the culture around us. Because we are not wandering aimlessly, but we're, our identity, who we are, is rooted in God, who is completely objectively apart from us and has authored creation and has a specific plan and calling on our lives as well. So the primary takeaway from these two verses on living for Christ is that our old flesh, our old lives, our old values, our old perspectives are irrelevant with the birth of Christ and our rebirth in Him. All of those old perspectives, all irrelevant. Everything changes. Our lives are now His, are now Jesus' lives, not our own. And our lives are not defined by the culture around us. That's the main takeaway from these first two verses. But then a specific takeaway for 2021, it's not the main takeaway of the verses, but something relevant for us going into this next year, is that our failures of 2020 do not have claim on us in 2021. What we've lost in 2020 does not define who we are in 2021. The cultural values that raged around us this year, that influenced us this year, the cultural values that manipulated us this year, do have no power or influence on us in 2021. Now, if as I'm saying these points, if you thought of somebody else, if you thought of a family member, a friend, or a Facebook person, friend, connection, then we've missed the point here. It's not those people, but it's you, it's me, who have experienced loss this year. It's you and me who have sinned this year. It's you and me who have been influenced by our culture in ways that we didn't even realize. And none of that needs to follow you and me into 2021. Because our new life in Christ overcomes all of that and overcomes more than that. That brings us to our second point this morning, which is in verses 18 and 19, living in reconciliation. Verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So being reconciled to God, we learn how to live for Christ by the example of what Christ has done for us. You hear from first-time parents often that they didn't realize how much they were like their own parents until they started trying to parent a kid. And just with Morgan and I planning how we would like to parent our children in the future, we realize how much influence our parents have had on us and how we want to raise our kids as well. And in the same way, we learn how to live for Christ by watching what Christ has done for us and his example that he has given us. So we had legal guilt where we have broken the laws of nature and the laws of God. We owed a debt to the Lord for sinning against him. We had critical wounds of sin that were going to cause us to die. We had relational separation between us and God. We committed political treason against the King of the universe. We committed religious blasphemy against the only one true God. And in that state, Christ takes the punishment for our crime. Christ pays the debt that we owed. Christ heals the wounds of sin that were killing us from within. Christ unites our relationship with God. Christ provides renewed citizenship to God's kingdom. Christ gives us the inheritance of his birth. Christ undoes the blasphemy that we've committed, gives us the keys to the kingdom, and gives us the ministry of his reconciliation. We're no longer held down by our mistakes. We're no longer held down by our past, by our sin. We have a continuous clean slate. Feel the weightlessness of this. Nothing of our own. Jesus takes all of this from us in our new birth. So where our old lives were weighted down heavy by our past experiences and by what we've been through and by our pain and by our own guilt and shame and feeling of sin, our new birth in Christ has none of that. Our new birth in Christ is a continuous clean slate. Our new birth in Christ is free from all of that that was weighing us down. Therefore, we desire and strive to live radically for Christ because we are free in this state, reborn in Christ. Therefore, we desire to live radically for Christ. And we're not taken back when it feels radical, when it feels like our lives following Jesus are radical. That doesn't faze us at all because we expect it to be different. 2 weeks ago, if you remember, we're in a three-week study focused on the birth of Christ, specifically the firstborn of all creation, Jesus. 2 weeks ago in our study that kicked off this three-week study, we talked about what led to the birth of Christ. Seven notable events throughout human history that led to Jesus being born and pointed to Jesus being born and showed us the significance of Jesus being born. Why was this birth of Jesus such a moment to look forward to? Because of this reconciliation. Last week, we focused on the birth of Christ itself. Why was that birth such a monumentous moment to us? This reconciliation. We come together free from our sin, reborn in Jesus. And the result is our guiltless, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. You have a free, guiltless, intimate relationship with God. If you are feeling joyful about your relationship with the Lord, hopefully you take that and rejoice. If you are feeling discouraged about your relationship with the Lord, I think a lot of us feel from time to time like we're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to do something to get to God again, to get our relationship with God right, to feel connected to the Lord again, that we're going to have to change and we're going to have to make this work. We should, and I just don't feel like I'm in the mood to do it. And we get kind of stuck in that spiral. And this reconciliation was accomplished not by us, not by us trying to work hard to get back to the Lord and get things right for the Lord. This reconciliation with God was done by Christ. So if you are feeling good about your relationship with the Lord, praise God. Let's rejoice this morning. If you're feeling not as good about your relationship with the Lord this morning, he's right there. He's already there with you. There's no amount of fighting that you got to get to him, no amount of change yourself to get to him, except what Christ has done to clean that slate for you. Accept what Christ has done to reconcile you to God. Accept what Christ has done to bring you in relationship and connect with your Heavenly Father this morning. He's right there. We're just leaning on what Christ has accomplished. verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is the ministry of reconciliation, as the verse says. So Christ's first coming to this earth, the one that we talked about with his birth, he had a mission to bring God and man back together again. His mission of his first coming was not to judge the world. That's actually going to be his mission of his second coming, the one that we're waiting for. But his first coming was to take the judgment from the world onto himself, on the world's behalf, making right what was wrong. That's the Lord's mission of his first coming. Now, where we are today, we now live in Christ's place on the earth. The church is Christ's body on the earth. So we are continuing his first coming mission. What he started with his birth, we are continuing that mission. He's working through us now instead of through his physical body on the earth. So after experiencing the reconciliation ourselves, after experiencing this relationship with God and this freedom and this rebirth ourselves, we desire to spread this reconciliation through the world. That's our motivation to bring this gospel to others. We don't live aimlessly like others do. Christ's mission is now the message that we spread. The mission of Christ's first coming is now the message that we spread to the world. Our goal is not to judge or correct sin. Our goal is to bring people to God. And we're not compromising any truth or our message, any holiness for this. But our goal is not to bring judgment and correction to people's sin. Our goal is to bring people to the Lord and let Jesus cover their sin and bring them new life. So our primary takeaway from verses 18 and 19, living in reconciliation, is that God first reached us with the gospel of Jesus, with the message of Jesus. And God is now using us, now that we've accepted Jesus and we have new life, God is now using us to reach others with the gospel of Jesus, and the truth of Jesus. A specific takeaway for 2021, we live in a world that enjoys making enemies. We live in a world that enjoys finding the bad guys and making them pay. We live in a culture that wants us to hate those who disagree with us and who has us think less of those who we think are wrong. This year, our goal should be to build bridges, not enemies. Now, this is often said, not even just in Christian circles, just in all circles. It's often said that this would be a goal, but I think it's not often meant truthfully. But we have the truest example of reconciliation. When we could offer God nothing, God found a way to bring us together at his own expense. Reconciliation is not about creating justice. It's about putting ourselves last to reach others with love. So to conclude our study this morning, new creations, that is what we are, reborn in Christ. Our primary conclusion is our old lives, our old values have died. And our new lives live for Christ in this ministry of reconciliation, helping spread the message of truth to the world. And a specific conclusion for our 2021, this next year, is we are freed from what took us down in 2020. No matter what the world looks like this year, no matter what our lives look like this year, we are freed from what took us down in 2020. We walk into 2021 with the victory of our Savior Jesus Christ. We know and we trust in what Christ accomplished at his birth, and that defines us this next year. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you freely because of what Jesus has done. And even though we ourselves are guilty, we are no longer guilty because you have redefined us by the goodness and perfection of Jesus. And so we come to you freely, not on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of Christ or because of Christ. We come to you freely and feel comfort and feel at home in your arms and in your presence. If we keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here in person or you're in the neighborhood or you're online watching and you've never trusted Jesus for salvation before, you've never experienced this rebirth that we've been talking about all morning. We've just passed Christmas, and which reminds us of Christ coming for us. And we go into this new year where if you don't have Jesus, you could feel alone. But the good news is that God is reaching out to you this morning, asking you to trust Jesus with your life and accept His sacrifice on your behalf. Accept His forgiveness for your sins. Accept His healing for your wounds. And come into a relationship with Him. If you've never trusted Jesus, and you're here this morning, you're in this neighborhood, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you so you can accept Jesus this morning. Does anybody want to do that here in person or in the neighborhood? If you're online and you'd like to accept Jesus for the first time, let me pray with you now. Father, I pray for those who are online, watching, listening, wherever they are, whenever they are. You're calling out to them as a loving, caring God. You would like to adopt them into your family. Give them eternal life. Give them a relationship like they've never known before. Pray that they trust Jesus, His death and resurrection. They trust that you can forgive them of their sins. They trust that they want to give you their life in exchange for rebirth in Christ. Pray that they commit themselves to you this morning, Lord. If we keep our eyes closed and our heads bowed for a second longer, if you're here this morning and you're feeling the weight of 2020 on your shoulders, or you're feeling some separation between you and the Lord, and you're hearing Him call you back to Him, and you're hearing Him call you with the ministry of reconciliation, for you to feel that reconciliation yourself, and for you to spread the message of that reconciliation to others. If the Lord is speaking to you in that way this morning, if you want to raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Amen. 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 Anybody else would like to be included in this prayer this morning? For those of you who are raising your hand online, let me pray for you as well. Father, I pray for those who are raising their hands here in person and online, seeing what you've done, how you've sent Jesus to us, and how that renews us. And on a big picture level, our whole life is defined by you now. But even on a small level, just this year, this defines this next year for us. We walk into 2021 with freedom, with a perspective that's defined by you, not anything else. And we walk with a great calling on our lives. So I pray for those who raise their hands that they feel that intimate relationship with you. They feel the freedom of being able to come to you and how you're coming to them this morning. And they don't feel any barriers. For all of us, Lord, be with us this week. We trust in you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.